I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Whether you're working from home or working on your fitness, you want what you're listening to be what you're listening to, not what your roommate or neighbor or significant other are listening to. Everyone needs a great pair of wireless earbuds, but before you go dropping hundreds of dollars on a pair, you need to check out the wireless earbuds from Raycon. We've teamed up with Raycon, and they are offering 15% off your order at buyraycon.com/filmsack.
I'll get right into it. Good morning, everyone. I'm here to talk to you about charitable giving, okay? And we all know the way that that works. You give 1, maybe 2% of your net cash, and you get an armband or a wristband or a ribbon or whatever it is. It's nowhere near enough. And that's why we at Embry Publicity would like to offer you the All Heart symbol.
Besides, he's hot.
This is FilmSack. Oh, sure.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to FilmSack. This is FilmSack, mining the very depths of film entertainment for all mankind, episode 470. My name is Scott Johnson. I'm joined today by my good friend, Brian. He really hates the word asshole Dunaway.
Oh, I hate it so much. Is the hole in my butt. Oh, hi.
Hi.
The following intro is rated PG-13 for some naughty language and spicy suggestive imagery. Therefore, parental guidance for children under 13 is advised. Now, join us for The Adventures of Captain Asshole and Miss Crazy. Apart, they are unstoppable. Together, they are weaker than a couple of newborn puppies at their doggy mama's throbbing 8 teats. Gross. So if you find yourself in over your head and faced with the prospect of mortal danger, for the love of old gods, don't call Asshole and Crazy, especially by name, or you may find yourself on the butt end of an unfortunate human centipede. Hey, that's 2 movie references in one. Maybe you've never seen one, but you've seen the other. That's okay. I'm not here to judge you, but you're a terrible person. And now, 4 guys in a van listening to a podcast about rave music. Randy?
That is amazing. By the way, human centipede reference. Well done. Although it never quite went that far in that movie. I appreciate where
it
you
went. It was close.
Yeah, it was close. It was pretty damn close. I'd want revenge, too. All right. Also, with us, Randy. That hand is cocked, Jordan.
Aloha, Scott.
Ryan.
Brian.
Randy.
Did I ever tell you boys about the time I was the most successful PR agent in California?
No.
True story. I was a one-man PR masterclass in success. And you can, too, if you follow my 3 PR rules. Number 1, to be great at PR, you gotta drop some other skills. Like communicating with the press. Don't worry about that, you know, ever. Just talk to your client like you're some kind of therapist and ignore the press. That always works. Number 2, to be great at PR, you gotta drop some other skills, like making money. Who needs it? You're gonna get to drive an old Beamer and live in a $2 million home in a very cute neighborhood, even when you're a complete failure. Number 3, to be great at PR, you gotta drop some other skills, like knowing how a train crossing works, or knowing how to run away from the outside of a building when the windows get broken, or how about this one, knowing how the diaper aisle at the store works. Diapers? That's apparently a woman's job. And if you don't have a woman, one will be provided to you.
Ah.
Nice. Very nice. These are steps I'm going to remember.
Life all wrong.
Yeah. I'm going to remember these, this list.
I've been dropping the wrong skills.
There you go.
True.
Daryl skills. Hey, check it out. Finally with us, Brian, his Zagnut bar versus your bullet, Ibbot.
Oh, don't call me Brian Ibbot one more time. I dare you. Just call me Brian Ibbot one more time. Now, you were waiting for this. This is a story all about how my life got flipped, turned upside down. And if you've got a second, I'll tell you a little ditty about how I became the hero of New York City. On Mount Olympus, I was born and raised. Macking with Charlize Theron is how I spent most of my days. But then I got amnesia, and I was reborn and spent my life in a trailer full of Jiffy Pop popcorn. Someone called me an asshole, and I got mad. You see, all gods have trigger names that make them turn bad. Apollo had dickweed. Athena's was witch. And you better not be calling Hades punk-ass bitch. I called Mary crazy. We got in a fight, and long story short, we almost died that night. But I moved to NYC, and my story will now stop, because it's time for me to make some more Jiffy Pop.
That was amazing. Yeah. I did not even think about
really?
That.
Really? I thought, oh my God, it's going to be three of us doing the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air theme.
That was amazing.
I wrote it all out and stepped back from it, and I'm glad I did, because yours was better than mine.
I expected all three. I really did. But
mine was a lot more about the Miami part. You know, like who's from Miami? I went deep.
Yeah,
you
could have done the whole Viente Minos V Miami or whatever it is.
Yeah,
whatever that girl sings. Hey, the movie's Hancock. If it wasn't clear, Hancock. We've talked a lot about it.
Human Centipede.
Oh yeah, Human Centipede. So. That scene's a little uncomfortable that Brian's referring to. We'll get to that. It's not the grossest thing in the movie, though. It didn't gross me out because it seemed super fake.
Yeah, it's CGI, right? I mean,
well, even then,
I don't know if it was CGI. I mean, it just
Tried. They tried to. I think it was in the trivia. They tried to do it with practical effects, and it wasn't working out. And they had to do the old special.
Really?
Thing
did they so really?
Wait, the scene in the prison with the guy,
with
his head up the other guy's butt. I would have
CGI.
I thought that was just like a camera angle thing, so you could hide his head.
That's what they said originally. They were going to try. They tried it with practical effects, camera angles, and whatnot, and it wasn't working for them. So they had that old CGI'd in. I don't know how they did it.
Well, it'd
be harder. Industrial Light and Magic. Can you tell us about some of your work?
So.
I put a prison man up another prison man's ass. That'd be
you
honest.
May have seen my head up another guy's butt.
You know, it's interesting.
Very proud.
That is when you read about this movie and you like watch a couple of reviews of this movie. That is clearly the most memorable thing from the film.
Yeah.
And I'd only seen it once before. I saw it the weekend it opened in a theater when I was living in Austin, Texas. I did not remember that about the movie. Like my memories of the movie were about Will Smith as drunk superhero.
Yeah, that's it. That's all I had.
That's all I remember too. I had totally forgot that Jason Bateman was a huge part of this film. I forgot that Charlize Theron was anything in this film.
I forgot
either.
Everybody. I forgot she was in it, period. So when she showed up, I went, oh, okay. I forgot you're in this. All right, I like you. You're cool. And then the twist bit with her, remember that at all. How did I pay $10 to go to a theater and watch this and not remember that twist at all?
As soon as Will Smith and Charlize Theron stare at each other, it gives it away. Like it's the biggest trope monster.
I agree, but I thought it was just like, oh, they're great. They're attracted somehow, and why? And it just seemed like the surface level stuff to me. The bit where she turns out to be one of him. Totally don't remember that. I don't remember her flying, fighting, beating stuff up, almost dying. None of that has a memory in my head.
I remembered it once it started happening. I'm like, oh yeah, that's right. I totally forgot that she was a thing, because even watching it this time around, it's been like probably 8 years since I've seen this last. And even when she was like looking around in the neighborhood and stuff, when he came in the house in suburbia, and I was still thinking, oh, she's just uncomfortable. She has an image she's trying to keep up. And it was something totally different.
Yeah,
I just didn't
see it coming. And I that's weird, because my memory of the movie ends in the bank robbery where dude gets his hand cut off. That's the end of the movie in my head.
Red.
Doesn't that also feel like the the worst way to stop someone with a kill switch, a dead man switch, is cutting their hand off from a far distance.
Yeah.
Right.
I don't think
you would. You've already shown you've got super speed. I think you could probably get there and force his hand shut.
Yeah, right. I know, but he called him an asshole, so, you know.
This is a superhero who shaves with his own fingernails, right? He uses his own fingernails to shave his own super beard. So he could just go rip that arm off using his super speed.
Right.
But long before, I don't know.
Because I think as soon as that hand becomes disconnected from the arm, the muscles kind of relax on that switch.
My complaints on this movie are all along those lines. They all have to do with the suspension of disbelief and the portrayal of the character. Because, like, he's supposed to be wacky and dumb. You know what I mean? Like, he starts out the movie, I guess he's drunk. So that's, you know, I guess that's kind of wacky.
He's inebriated.
But it's just like anytime he gets all clever, I'm just like, no, don't make him clever.
He never really got too clever. He's just a... I think they played it pretty good here. I mean, I like the way the character was written, and I think they played it pretty well because he wasn't stupid. He was disconnected, ignorant of what mortals have to deal with.
Sure. We've talked about movies that change what the movie is about basically halfway through, like Dust Till Dawn and other movies. This is a good example of that, where I think this would have been either movie that they tried to make, or either half of the movie, would have been good on its own as a fully fleshed out idea. Having a superhero who's kind of a dick, who needs a PR guy, and the PR guy kind of changes him and softens his image and stuff. Make that the whole movie, or make this whole like star-crossed deity lovers that can't be together but can't be apart kind of thing.
Right.
Make that the whole movie, but don't change gears halfway through and say, all right, we've got this great idea for a PR guy. He's going to like soften him up. And then that kind of just disappears as soon as he goes.
Completely agree. And it shifts, and it's just too much of a shift. It's like, okay, great. All right. This is a different movie.
And I guess that's probably why we're talking about Hancock on FilmSack, is because it does. That's the pivot point that it fails.
I don't like it.
So
I don't like it.
Yeah. I wouldn't say I don't like it necessarily. I just think it's a much weaker movie if it had stayed the course,
First half of the movie is the better movie. Even if I agree with Ibbot entirely on this point, but if I was going to pick one, I would stick with the first one, and I would flesh that out more, because I just think there's a lot of places they could have kept going and then stopped because suddenly the focus completely changed.
But I got to say, I enjoyed both movies.
Yeah.
I enjoyed both.
There's things to like about the second movie.
Right.
But I think there's a lot more to like about the first movie than there is the second.
Agreed. Yes. I think as far as the second half, it is, it's just so formulaic. I mean, both halves really are formulaic. You do the PR thing and it's a pretty predictable movie to write.
Yep.
You start off with drunk, superhero PR guy steps in, he figures he's got heart, and he becomes a good guy at the very end kind of thing.
Yeah, I think that can only go so far. Well, I would agree with that, but it sounds like their original plan. So it says in the trivia, the original screenplay was much darker. Apart from being a low-life, Hancock was supposed to be a sexually frustrated dude because he couldn't have sex with a woman without killing her. The MPAA cleared, or let's see, actually oh, cleared
a
scene.
That's why it was called Hancock. I got it now.
Right.
Okay.
They cleared a scene involving what is written here as a explosive orgasm, but it was removed from the final cut because the test audience didn't find it funny. The tone was lightened considerably for summer release aimed at a wider audience. The MPAA gave it R rating before language, and then violence cuts resulted in the PG-13. Had this movie
that audience did not find an explosive, murderous sex scene hilarious.
Yeah,
why that would not be hilarious. Peter Berg made a good choice in listening to the audience on that, and
I wish Peter Berger. I wish they would have made something more akin to the kinds of darker, sardonic hero movies we've had lately. Kick-Ass comes to mind.
Yeah,
stuff like that.
This was the year after. This was the year after Iron Man. So it's interesting what influence it might have.
No, it's the year. It's the year of Iron Man. 2008 is the
year of Iron Man. Okay,
yeah. and
at the time,
Batman.
That's
Dark Knight.
The contrast.
Yeah.
Right. Was that you had? Mm-hmm. You had, you know, heroes, and now you're going to go explore a drunk who has superpowers. Mm-hmm. That was the
Tony
pitch,
Stark,
you know. Mm-hmm. No, that like right. Tony Stark is a recovered alcoholic, right? Like that's the whole thing. Is Tony Stark is constantly carrying around all the baggage.
The movie, yes.
Yeah, but in the comics, he waffles back and forth. He relapses.
Lots of times.
Yeah, if you're counting just MCU, there is some of that. But I guess what I'm saying is, if they Brian or Ibbot yelled out the boys, and he's right, like something more akin to that. Mm-hmm. Maybe weren't ready for it yet. This is 12. Whatever it is, years ago.
The boys, The Boys was coming out as they were making this movie. So, like, it's got to be weird to be Vince Gilligan and be, going to see how the film's going, and you're making script adjustments, and The Boys is coming in every month, and you're like, wow.
Oh, because it was the comic book you're saying was coming out. Okay.
Oh, I see what you mean.
I don't know. Maybe the two didn't ever cross paths, right? The
Boys was kind of. I mainly mean like the TV thing that's on Prime, but obviously we're 12 years apart, and it's, you can't really compare them, and taste change and everything else. But had they leaned into it, I think there was something here for that. Supposedly Hancock 2, which Will Smith wants to produce still and has had his hands on for a long time, may still yet happen at some point.
Yeah, Charlize Theron says she's happy to do it.
Oh, I would love that. I would love a Hancock too. Would Jason Bateman be back as the everyman?
Why not? He does stuff. Why not? He'd come back.
Yeah.
Both he really does. He does it so well, but he does play. He does tend to play the same character in everything he does. Bateman. Yeah. He's very good at it. So he can.
He's really good.
Do this, but.
I mean, there was probably no question in their mind when it was like, who should we have play this everyman, Jason Bateman? Yeah, okay, let's move on. Let's keep going.
He's Michael Bluth. He would have just come off the run of Arrested Development and was ready to start doing, movie things. And
it's funny because he can do something he can do something in film that is always interests me and makes it really good in rom-com comedies. He's able to seem like he both madly passionately cares about his love interest, but also is accepting of the loss without losing himself. Mm-hmm. Like if he ever runs into a situation with a relationship and it is destroyed, he may be a little bit bitter about it, but he just keeps on moving. Mm-hmm. And it's very believable how he does it. And
it doesn't work with every actor. That's a good point. Other actors make that stuff seem, I don't know, like even in Arrested Development, the whole concept of that story was that his wife died. And it was horrible, and she went too young, and he's here with his son, and that shows a comedy, but yet he somehow makes that seem, I don't know, sad, but also like he triumphed a little
hopeful.
Bit. It's weird.
It's a little, he always brings a little bit of hope in a very desperate situation. Even here, it's like when he realizes that Charlize Theron's character, Mary, is already married. Mm-hmm. It's okay, and he's not intimidated by the fact that Will Smith, or at least doesn't show it, that they used to be married and all this other stuff. He finds a way to just go through and be a good dad and manages relationships.
But this concept, the thing that bugged me the most, and it's probably a trope. Let's just play this. Here it is. It's at least their own trope. But this idea that all of them had a key word that pissed them off the most.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Come on, dude.
So did every hero, but didn't they also imply that other people had?
Well, what's her name said it? His was a-hole. Hers was
crazy, which is something that people call in relationships a lot. So when people are in relationships, that seems to be to their.
And this probably means that Marty McFly is one of the gods too, because if you call him a coward, then he's trigger word too.
Right, there you go. I just hate that. Like, there's one word, and that's and then everything. All bets are off
one
with the one word.
Time.
Right.
One more say.
I love hate it or hate love it, whichever one you want to put first, because it did provide us with a couple of times where Will Smith gets to do something that he does really well, which is just to be absolutely.
Well, it was too many times, because when you did it with the little idiot Michelle kid, that was actually really well done, because he was like, say it one more time. He says it one more time, and without any hesitation, he throws that kid to the sun. And then that worked for me, too. Yeah.
Kudos on that kid for playing the way he did, because you literally, you just hated him.
You hated him.
Oh, God.
He's just really annoyed me. But then later when he said it to, who did he say it to the second time? It was, it wasn't in prison. Where was it?
Oh, Red. Red called him asshole because he chopped his.
Right. That time I went, all right, call back. Okay, but you better not try that again. And then they saved it another one for the little post-credits thing. I'm like, yeah. Okay. Right,
so it happens four times in the movie.
Yeah, don't do it again. It's too many times. It's too many times.
While we're on the trope of the berserk button, does anybody have a favorite from another movie?
A berserk button.
Is that what the TV Tropes name for it is? The berserk button? The
berserk button. It's huge on TV Tropes. Like, it's one of the biggest I've ever seen.
Let's the Manchurian candidate doesn't count, right?
If your character needs a flaw, it is quick and easy to throw
the thing that sets them off, right? Like
that is exactly what it is. It's how you give your character, your superhero, a vulnerability.
Yeah, quickly.
I can't think of one. I know in my head, stuff's flashing past my head, but nothing specific. I can't think of one. Think of one. Someone help me.
Wait.
Here. Oh, I got it. Okay. Indiana Jones and snakes. Does that count?
That's a good one.
That's a good one.
Okay.
Good
one. Snakes.
Is that a berserk button or is that just a kryptonite? Because kryptonite and berserk buttons, I don't feel like they're the same thing.
Right.
Well, Hancock also has that trope. My gosh.
Yeah, he's got the Hancock kryptonite too.
Mm-hmm. Wait, what's his kryptonite?
Charlize Theron, right?
Yeah, the relationship. Yeah, the relationship is the kryptonite. Yeah. Right.
All right. So you guys help me understand that for a second?
Indiana Jones, his berserk button is being called Junior.
Oh, right. Don't call me Junior. Right.
That's right.
That's a pretty
pretty
innocuous. I mean, when he just gets mad for a second and then it's like, okay, let's keep
riding. He doesn't have superpowers, so he can only be so berserk.
Right. Plus they keep coming back to it in that third movie multiple times, which is it's the callback that makes it lame. It's not so much the first time you use it. Like the first time you use it doesn't mean anything. It's like, don't call me Junior, Dad. Like, okay, I used to call him Junior, didn't like him when he was growing up. Anyway, moving on. But if you keep doing callbacks, then you're like, okay, we get it. Don't call you Junior. Okay.
So maybe is Uncle Ben Spider-Man's berserk button?
Oh, maybe.
Not exactly.
No. It just really triggers him once against the criminal in the apartment building, the origin story.
Batman and Bats, is that anywhere close to this? Probably not. Probably not. Or his parents, if he sees an alleyway and he's like, oh, my parents,
Give us some examples, Randy. I'm
a little stumped too. I can't think of any.
Yeah.
So, let's see here. In the Dark Knight trilogy, there's a couple.
All right.
One is whenever the serious Joker gets called a freak and suddenly goes nuts.
Oh yeah.
Another one is do not ever remove Bane's mask. I really like that.
Don't ever remove it. Yeah.
That's a berserk button.
Your punishment will be more severe if you take my mask.
Batman's got a few.
In Forrest Gump, Lieutenant Dan has a berserk button.
Is it ice cream?
Once he becomes attached to Forrest.
I grab Lieutenant Dan!
Once he becomes attached to Forrest, Lieutenant Dan cannot take someone calling Forrest Gump stupid or something.
Good thing it wasn't the word shrimp.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh my gosh. Him and Bubba Gump there.
Yeah.
Those are okay. I get it now. I feel like this movie really relied on that just a little too much, and it annoyed me. But I do have a question. All right. So back to the whole kryptonite thing. Do I understand? Okay, I kind of struggle with this bit. When they were together in the hospital,
it wasn't consistent, if that's what you're going to ask.
Well, that's what I'm asking. Because he starts losing powers only when he takes the bullet, but he had enough power to throw that guy through the wall. But it was enough.
It's very playing loose with the rules of his superpowers. And the two of them being together, and he didn't seem to have any problem, at the beginning when he and Charlize Theron were hanging out together, having giant meatballs and things like that.
Right.
So it's like a time phase thing where the more time you spend with
that's what I'm assuming. The longer, the more exposure it slowly weakens them.
It must be that, because it was
very inconsistent.
Yeah, and the
separation is instant. Like as soon as he gets far enough away, then it's like, okay, we're all good now.
That was played so fast and loose that it almost couldn't be a rule. Like when they're together, the first few times they're in the same place, that they're not really declining.
They're also when they're in, and even if you go with Ibbot's idea of that it's time based, in theory, we're now in the hospital and the time has really ticked away and we are really in trouble now. He still has the wherewithal to pull her from her bed and throw that throw that bed so hard that it crashes through 8 concrete walls, throws guys all over the place, causes all kinds of mayhem and damage in that hospital. In theory, shouldn't have any of that right then. Like, why suddenly it's like, oh no, now I'm being choked by a guy with one arm. How is this possible? Like,
so he has two real superpowers, right? One, he is impervious, and two, he is super strong, right? And so his like flying and so on is all just a feat of strength.
Yeah.
And those two powers aren't, they don't work the same way coming and going. Like, he apparently loses his steel skin way faster than he loses his strength.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Which is sort of all one and the same, if you think about it, right? Like, he should have been, if he's still super strong, he should have no problems, you know?
If you can sling a Zagnut through somebody's skull, you should definitely be able to block a bullet with your abdomen. Yeah.
Zagnuts, too. Jeez. I mean,
right?
The worst candy bar to fire through somebody's
I don't
head.
Think I've ever had a Zagnut. What's the consistency of a Zagnut?
Ooh,
isn't
it like
white,
I like Zagnuts.
Hard nougat in the middle, just chocolate surrounding it.
Okay. Oh, never so had good. One. Are they? Good. Is that worth
it? You ever had a Zagnut?
I like it. Whereas I'm thinking of a Zero. I'm pulling
it. No, Zero's like the white cream outside.
Okay, yeah, that's
you always. Whenever I get one, I'm always like open. I'm like, oh no, this chocolate's bad. I'm like, oh yeah, that's right. It's supposed to be white chocolate. That's right.
Oh yeah, no, Zagnuts are no. These are also not good.
Yeah. Oh, I actually like Zagnuts.
Wow, you're a candy. Like you're a candy snob. I didn't know
I'm
that.
Totally I'm totally a candy snob. So it's basically a Butterfinger without the chocolate on the outside.
Yeah, it's crushed like a Butterfinger on the outside. That's a good way to just.
So it's basically the contents of the Butterfinger inside and
without
out.
The
it's all Butterfinger.
Right. It looks like somebody
all
is
finger
like,
and no butter.
Right.
It's funny, you read the history and it says the origin of Zagnut is uncertain. The nut part presumably comes from either the coconut coating or the peanut butter center, while the zag coconut. Could be the reference to zigzag, a slang phrase popular when the bar was created in the 1930s.
Wow. Could just be a candy bar.
Yeah, it might be that. Yeah, I just have never had one. So
if he would have done a Twix, could he have like
got both eyes?
Take it out.
Double barrel.
Guys. Yeah.
Yeah.
Shoot, shoot.
Two guys, one Man, Twix each. That's great.
Yeah. We don't have our superheroes. This is a whole subject in the DC universe. We don't have our superheroes kill people violently very often, but Hancock is very, they definitely play that he is a god, you know, a small g god of some sort or some kind of hero for gods, because his strength is just overwhelming to the point that easily snuffing lives out. Very quickly.
Well, yeah, but or also earlier in the
that's a crazy thing. He doesn't kill people all through the like the beginning of the movie. He throws a car onto a spike. We get to presume that the people all survive. He's constantly like he throws a child up in the air. He catches him and doesn't kill him. It's like everything he does. He takes all these robbers out of a bank. We presume he's depositing them in police custody. And then when he has a chance to kill the real bad guy, he doesn't actually kill the guy. He just takes his arm off.
Mm. I think like, there's a train engineer that is a pile of goo on the front of the train that might disagree.
Yeah. No, I didn't there think about that.
Bad decisions.
There's no way that
like,
guy survived,
that is
right?
not portrayed. That, it's just never portrayed in this movie. This movie is so careful to make it so that he has this weird sense for how to get right up to taking a life and not take it.
Right.
Yeah.
You know? Well, he was trying to, this probably mostly due to editing, I believe, because they were trying to hit a PG-13 wider audience rating on this thing. Mm-hmm. And actually the ejaculation thing we mentioned earlier is supposed to be on the DVD.
Oh, is it now? Okay.
Yeah. The gag. I don't recall seeing the DVD, but it's supposed to be on there.
Let's
so.
All rush
I
out. Put your masks on. Put your masks on. Let's go get
the ejaculation scene in every place there is to read about this movie.
Right.
It feels like that would be on YouTube too. Like if it's on a DVD, someone's copied it and posted it on YouTube. And how is it possible, Brian Dunaway, that you don't already have the special edition of Hancock on Blu-ray with 4K and
right. This movie is kind of flew under the radar poorly for me. I mean, I watched it back in the day and I something just didn't ever quite capture me to want to go back and watch it multiple times. But now that I've watched it recently, I'm kind of like, I'm finding new things that I kind of like about it. Now I want to see it again.
Also,
I'd really like to skip to my big question about this thing, which is, if it had been the same amount of time since you had seen all Peter Berg movies, and you were only going to watch one more, one Peter Berg movie again, and you had to choose one, would it be Hancock?
Not me.
Well, that's a darn
movie. Friday Night Lights.
He did. He did both. He did the movie and the show. The TV show is an all time great classic. If you don't count lots of season two, but anyway, it's one of the greatest things ever made. The movie's all right. It's okay.
Right. Does a movie starring Peter Berg count, or does it have to be a movie he directed?
Well, then it's Hot Dogs, if you're going to count one as Hot Dogs.
That's hilarious. Also, there's the one Late for Dinner, which is like he and his brother, he plays like the dopey brother. Two brothers get trapped in a, not a time capsule, but like a hyperbaric chamber.
Oh,
and they wake up 30 years later, and
his
daughter is now a mother. And
No, I remember that.
This may be one of my, I don't know, man. This may be one of my favorite Peter Berg movies.
You gotta love. I really, really liked Deepwater Horizon. It's not like the biggest splash of a movie, and it was based on a real event and all of that. Oh, I didn't mean that. It wasn't a very sensationalistic take on an actual thing that happened. It was a historical whatever. But that and Patriot's Day, which is, again, the other one, both these had Marky Mark in them.
Patriot's Day is pretty good, too. I don't know if I want to go back and... Would you want to go back and watch it again, though?
I might. I think it's pretty freaking good.
The most rewatchable one is probably The Rundown, sadly.
The Rundown's great, dude.
Just the rewatchable. Just, you know, watch it again.
Yeah,
and again.
Yeah.
I don't know if I've seen The Rundown.
The question.
Haven't seen The Rundown?
Let's see. Oh, The Rock.
You watched it with us here on FilmSack.
I must have seen this because it's got Christopher Walken.
You watched it with us on FilmSack.
Didn't we film
it? Oh, we watched it for FilmSack?
Yes, we did.
I think I saw The Rundown. I don't watch all these movies.
That's the opposite of the Mandela effect. Yeah. That's like the Mandela amnesia effect.
Yeah, there
usually
you go.
I'm the one who says we did do that movie on FilmSack when we didn't. This is one of those rare instances. Like, no, I don't think I've ever seen that. It actually turned out to be something we'd seen.
Yeah. Also, The Kingdom is very good. I should mention that as a side.
Yeah, that was good.
Yeah, I like that.
I definitely think The Rundown is probably the most rewatchable one. Hancock's pretty good, but I don't know if I could rewatch it a bunch of times. It's good,
to really, you know, figure out where it belongs, like how good it is, you have to have some distance from it, and I just don't know, like like right now I'm still amazed at how much I enjoyed Spencer Confidential, but it just came out, like it's just a few weeks ago, and I don't know, I'll rewatch it in a couple of years and I might like it as much or not. You just don't know. Where, you know, the Rundown I've seen three or four times over the years, and I know I like it, but how do you get the space away from it, right? Like, right now I'm kind of, like, pissed off at Hancock, but it's not a bad movie. It's just, I just watched it, and it's got a terrible flaw in the Charlize Theron character having superpowers and not using them. Yeah. Like, that's just a terrible flaw. I can't stop thinking about it.
Yeah. Really?
How does this completely unsuccessful PR guy have a nice life? Well, she must be paying for it. How's she getting the money? Yeah, she's got superpowers. She's going out and stealing money.
No, she's 3,000 years old. I'm sure she's got some, you know, some doubloons or something.
Oh, she's got stuff socked away.
She's got doubloons.
Yeah. Sells a Mona Lisa every once in a while. And,
I love it. She's got old Nazi money she's keeping in some box somewhere. Something.
Come on, in a safety deposit box. She doesn't have to work. She's been around for 3,000 years.
Yeah. The more you
she's
try
buried
to
a lots of
out
men.
That character in the first act of this movie, the more you think about what she's doing, the more it's like, wow, she's a freaking villain. Mm-mm. She's terrible not using her superpowers. Like, wow.
I do like
and
that
how
she,
much
she
better
kinda...
a movie would this be if she kind of was a supervillain, right? Like, if instead of the twist being the fact that they're...
I was worried that was going to happen.
Yeah.
Were you?
Yeah. I don't know if it would have helped or hurt. It's hard to say. I think it was already hurting at this point, and I went, oh, okay, well, wherever they
I
go
I thought
with
she
this.
Was... For a minute, I thought she was a supervillain because, like, when they first said, oh, she's got superpowers, and before they explained it again, and I had totally forgotten, I was like, oh, man, she's been feeding everybody meatballs. I bet she's been poisoning those meatballs, and she's she's taken away Will Smith's powers and all this other stuff.
Yeah, they called it spaghetti madness for a reason, dude. There was madness in those meatballs. Mm-hmm. Yeah. got to be careful. But she, yeah, when she dressed up like all dark makeup and like black super lady dress,
yeah.
I went, she, oh, her, she has an outfit. Okay.
Her Olivia Newton John at the end of Grease moment.
I loved, there was such a subtle makeup thing.
That's really funny.
Get Scott cackling.
Sorry, that's funny as crap.
No, no.
There is that thing where Olivia Newton-John changes into whatever she changes into.
It's a true story.
It's really funny comparison.
Yeah, the very end of Grease is amazing.
Yeah, it's a great
Yeah, so, and I guess just dark makeup is her Clark Kent's glasses.
The makeup, right. The makeup was fantastic. It was very subtle. Whenever Charlize Theron was flying around, whenever she showed up somewhere, her mascara would be smeared and everything, and it was just this very subtle thing that they could have totally have missed and not adjusting her makeup after a flight. But they played right into it. I don't know if
she's so gosh dang attractive. Gosh dang it, dude. She just is. She fills the screen and just is so compelling in everything she freaking does. And oh, man.
And she's believable as being someone who is super strong. I mean, I would believe that she would be able to kick Will Smith's butt,
but she's absolutely not believable as the housewife in this situation. Who, like that? That's the thing. Like, just everything about the her presentation. Like, why didn't they make her a little frumpier? Mm-hmm. It's like when Will Smith shows up, and he's like, okay, so who's Jason Bateman's wife? Oh, a supermodel, but one of the 10 most gorgeous people alive. Wow.
But wasn't this the height of a soccer mom coming into her own? Wasn't this the height of that time period
2008?
Where soccer moms were able to do everything?
I don't know.
Were strong.
I don't know.
And well kept.
Maybe.
And everything. I think that was what was going on at this point. So I actually believed it in the context of a movie from the late 2000s.
Maybe. My main thing, I agree with Randy here that she just felt out of place and kind of
like a demigod, right?
Yeah, she's a Greek goddess. Yeah,
she is, and she's but I don't know. Jason Bateman's okay looking, and that's fine, and they're okay together, and whatever. But I kept expecting, boy, they sure make a weird looking kid. Let's put it that way. They make a weird looking.
Well, that's
kid
not her
together.
Kid. That's who's, not her kid.
Right? Wait, whose kid is it? I missed that.
That's his kid. It's Bateman's kid with a previous woman who died.
The previous woman. Oh. Because Mary killed her.
Diaper aisle story.
I missed that.
Mary,
okay.
Mary killed his previous wife.
I missed that. All right, so. In that case, then never mind. I was going to ask, did you guys ever think the kid was suddenly going to have powers? Because I was worried about that.
And here's another thing. How could you live with your partner, the person you share a bed with, and not know that they have skin of steel? How could you?
Well, right. You.
I'm not allowed to touch my significant other in bed, so I don't know. Maybe this is possible. Question mark.
Yeah, you never know. Yeah, I don't know. Right,
again, stay on your side.
Again, they're fast and loose with their rules. They play it like a haunted house, and I don't like that sometimes. I need rules in my universe-y power-y things, right? Like one thing the MCU. One thing the MCU gets right. Wait, Marvel Cinematic Universe. Why does that sound wrong? MCU, yeah.
Yeah, MCU.
One of the great things that those all get correct, in my opinion, they have great humor. They have great sort of references for fans of comics. They do all these things right. The action's great. Direction's great. All those things are always great. But one of the things I've always admired about, I think all of them, is the consistency with their world building. It may be a little different than the comics, but they stick to the rules that they establish in their movies, and they don't deviate from those rules.
That's going to be a difference between having a depth of, 30, 40 years worth of stories that have been rewritten, and you can pick which one you want to present in the film, versus a story that was a screenplay and basically a 10-page treatment when it was pitched to Will Smith. So, I mean, there's a lot of difference in history to be able to pull from.
I think that's a good point.
But I agree with you. I mean, I would have liked to. I like when you set a rule, you set that rule hard and you follow it. To the letter. Yeah. If you break that rule, you've lost my.
Because it's a cheat. You're just cheating.
Yeah.
And so movies like this have lots of little cheats. No movie's perfect. I mean, whatever. Any time travel movie does this, they all play fast and loose with their rules. But I appreciate one that doesn't. And up to a point, this one stuck to it. As written, until we found out she had powers, we were pretty consistent. It was this guy down on his luck. Who knows why he's even helping people at all? Like why he was even bothering to save dude on a train track.
I feel like, right? Why would he even bother to do it? I think it was at some point in time, I'd love to see the history in it. Did this ever make it? Did they like ever feed this back into like any comic series? I wasn't sure.
I feel like they must have come up with a comic book.
I would love to see that 80-year gap history between, you know, his seeing the Frankenstein film and into current day. I would like to have seen. Oh,
there absolutely is a series of Hancock comic books.
I figured there was, but I never really read them.
Found them? I just found them. They're found made them. By,
I found them. Found them.
Who makes this? This is from.
I hope Image.
It's not Image.
Darn.
I hope it's
Gold Key.
It doesn't.
I hope it's Atlas Comics.
It doesn't actually say. I don't know why it doesn't say, but there's Harvey. A whole bunch of these.
Harvey.
There's a whole bunch of these. I would have.
Well, you know what? Might work. Maybe some Archie comics. Maybe they could have got in there and did some Hancock. I think they can.
Well, they've gotten dark recently, trash. Right?
So yeah, they can pull some weird trash out. Yeah,
well,
everything has gotten dark recently, and that like everything.
Not Gold Key.
And it's really interesting how this is a Vince Gilligan joint before he got really swept away.
Oh yeah, we forgot to mention that he wrote this, right? He wrote the script or whatever. Yeah.
Well, I mean, I've mentioned it like three times.
Oh, have already. You today? Oh, I missed it. Sorry. Yeah. I didn't hear you say it.
Anyway, it's just interesting to kind of get Vince Gilligan before he started just having everybody always be mean and bad to everybody else. Because there are actually some rays of hope in this film, right? Like the Jason Bateman character is like lawful good. It's kind of shocking at times how lawful good he is, because if you come along and befriend a superhero, like for power to not corrupt you is amazing. And like the movie kind of struggles with that all the way through, right? Like the scene where Hancock leaves the jail to go get his basketball is supposed to be making this case that power has not corrupted him. Which is itself a superpower, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And I actually think that's amazing. And one of the things I wanted to see explored more, because you had mentioned earlier that you didn't believe Mary's character would, you know, with superpowers would not be doing something to proactively help humanity. And she is. She's found that her powers always end up making things worse. And she's like, what if her power is to help someone who is lawful good in an absolute way? And can, like, you know, get him to the place she needs to be, protect him, because she's protecting him. She even, like, says, you know, to Hancock, you know, like, back off. I'm trying to protect this guy. This guy is, she's an angel. And she's taking on the role of angel instead of God.
I'm saying, in my headcanon, I have to have her doing something good during the day. I cannot have her not using her powers, because that is itself an evil act. So in my headcanon, she flies off during the day and she goes and saves endangered species out in the woods or something. You know what I'm saying? Like, she needs to be doing something.
I think, and see, I think maybe that's a difference in complex characters versus simple characters. I think a complex character would sacrifice to understand the greater good. And so I'm actually down with what the character potentially, once again, in my headcanon, could be doing. And I would like to see more story in that. Because if you can sacrifice, because we can all go, I'm in control. I'm the most powerful. I'm going to do everything the way I want to, which is what Hancock does it his way. She decides to listen and see what the world needs and finds a different way.
What's cool is I was just doing a little deep dive on Vince Gilligan.
Oh, yes.
Here.
Whenever you go quiet, we know you're reading up on something. Right.
Well, he was, this would have been the year that he launched Breaking Bad as well. So he was having a good year that year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Things went okay for him. This movie made money.
He was doing all right.
Yeah, he was doing all right.
Yes, it did.
I got some scrutiny, though.
Scrutiny.
Here's a piece of trivia I don't believe. It says, before the film became a Will Smith vehicle. I love the idea of an actual car being a Will Smith vehicle that would just play like Miami or whatever, you know, whatever your horn's going to be, just get jiggy with it all the time or whatever. Anyway, George Clooney, Ben Affleck, Matt Damon, and Leonardo DiCaprio, among others, were all considered for the title character over the development of the years that they developed it.
But what does consider mean? I mean, it's like when they asked the original people who were working on it, said, yeah, we thought about it for a hot minute.
Right.
We had a discussion where we was eating, some bagels and some coffee. We said, hey, wait, man, George Clooney. Nah, that's not really being considered.
Right. It's always the question is what do they like? Number one,
if
that data is true or if that trivia is true, how far did it get? Did they?
Yeah. Did you pick up the phone and call Clooney?
An offer, Clooney? Did they just say, yeah, you'd be good. Here's a list of all the people who are popular now. Okay. Yeah,
I only want to hear when they talk about that, where someone has been made an offer and they've declined. Mm-hmm. That's what I like to hear. It's like George Clooney declined the role. Okay. Valid.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I need some sanity.
I can't have just so-and-so. These eight names were considered. Like, come on. also, there's this trivia about Will Smith sharing a birthday with Christopher Reeve. That's fine.
That's really not trivia though, is it?
No.
Get out of here.
I mean, I share one with David Hasselhoff and it doesn't mean shit. You know what I mean?
I share one with Bruce Willis.
Oh, do you? Nice.
Crazy coincidence.
Wow. Do you slurp my butt?
Sometimes I call Bruce Willis up and just go, hey man, happy birthday, brother. How's it going? He's like, oh good. Yeah. Happy birthday to you too, Brian.
I'm having a good birthday. Is your birthday good?
Right.
Have a few laughs. I've known for a very, very long time the three most famous people I can think of who also have my birthday, and that would be Puff Daddy, Matthew McConaughey, and Ralph Macchio.
Wow.
Oh, everything's starting to make a lot more sense now.
Yeah.
I don't think that's how any of those names are pronounced.
Yeah. Macchio. I like Macchio. Macchio's pretty good. All right. McConaughey. That's right. Isn't that how you say it?
McConaughey. Yeah.
Wait, what
I pronounce it.
Isn't that what Randy's saying?
Maybe it is McConaughey.
You said, McConaughey? I thought it was McConaughey. Yeah. It's not McConaughey?
McConaughey.
I would do a read. I would listen to a remade song that used McConaughey and McConaughey in it. That'd be great. Mm-hmm. All right. I got who? See if we have some guesses here. What grossed Scott out the most? Any guesses?
I actually thought about it earlier. What was it?
It was early. I'll say that it was early.
Yeah, right out of the gate, he's face to face with a kid on the street, and he is drunk. His breath has got to be so freaking bad.
Yeah, not that, but it's you're close to the time.
And not just any kid. That's Brick from The Middle. I love that. I love that little actor.
Oh yeah,
he's a very distinctly looking kid too. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's too short of a. I thought he'd be in it more. For what
guys.
He has a certain twang to his voice too that's unmistakable for that kid.
Yeah.
Anyway,
also
grabs
this movie,
a woman's butt.
Atticus Sheffer.
This movie was a minute before smartphones because any time later and it would have started with him asleep on a bench on the street and people lined up to get a picture, a selfie with him and put it on Instagram.
Yeah. It was produced. So they filmed it in 07, which was the year the iPhone landed. 08 would have been the year the first Android phones hit and we would have been in the second year of iPhone. So they would have filmed this before any of that stuff happened. You're right. That was right there, like right on that.
You'd have an app called Hancock Tracker.
Yeah. So let's see.
Right, so I'm guessing it was right around then, though, when he was still.
It was literally. It was. Let me. I'll even narrow it down. It was right after the kid left.
Oh, okay. So.
So he gets another bottle out of the thing. He grabs a woman's butt. He licks his fingers or something. Like he gets.
It's before the butt.
So okay. It's before the butt, before but after the licking.
Does he expel his nostril?
There you go.
The hanky.
Yeah, the farmer. That's not even. The farmer blow. He attempted to do a farmer blow. It didn't work. But that's foul, dude. Anyone who does that whole like plug one nostril and fire one off under the cement or whatever, freaking go back home to your farm in Arkansas. What are you doing here? Like that's horrendous.
He's practically homeless except for his trailer with the drums out front. I mean, practically.
Nice
detail.
The drum set. It's like he designs his house like I designed my Animal Crossing island.
Right. Know what looked good here? Drum set.
Yeah. I've got a bunch of Jiffy Pop on the counter because I have no place to put all this stuff.
Right. He also has
pockets are full.
Had a lot
something
of
something that I was surprised not to see in the trivia is right after that scene when the kid wakes him up, he gets his bottle and he starts flying. He runs into a bunch of geese
and then he narrowly misses
a plane. And I was for sure that was like a little Superman play on it's a bird, it's a plane kind of thing. But I didn't see it in trivia. So I don't know if that's a real, if it was really intentional.
There's a lot of, I think you're right. I think that might not have been, that was probably like more like an editorial decision. I don't think that was.
Okay.
I noticed that too. I noticed there was a couple of things like that. There was some parallels.
Superman nods kind of thing.
By the way, can I have a Trump alert on something?
Mm-hmm. Hold on.
Your amazing home is a trailer in the desert with nothing anywhere near it. Mm-hmm. Why do movies like this so much? Why is Randy Quaid's home in Vegas Vacation a trailer in the desert and there's no sewer, there's no electricity to this thing?
It's the Martin Riggsing.
It reminds me because it's his fortress of solitude, but it's a trash. You know what I mean? Like the same reason Superman has to have his thing, or Batman has to have his cave, or these broody heroes have to have their place.
Fortress of solitude, Batcave. Wait a minute!
It's funny because it subverts itself because when you see it and it's all by itself, it actually looks kind of nice. It looks like I would like that.
Yeah.
Just dawned on me, is Martin Riggs does he also have the crazy trigger word? Doesn't he go crazy when somebody calls him crazy?
He's like, hey Mo, and that was the thing. Yeah, he didn't call him Mo.
He called him just crazy. They'd say you're crazy and then he would
I think it was crazy too,
kind of flip the switch. Yeah, because it happened I think with the police psychologist or
oh my gosh.
Didn't they get together in the second one, or was that a different psychiatrist?
Different psychologist.
That was
first one was the blonde lady
that's right
character actress, and then it was Rene Russo.
Yeah,
that's right.
And then he made out with diplomatic immunity. Everyone ends up with that guy in the end. A lot of spaghetti in this movie. I noticed
a lot of. I noticed that there was a lot of a straw ball kind of food. It was like, hey, we need to see some straws, noodles, and some balls.
Meats. And
it was everything they were eating was either of that combination. It seemed.
Yeah,
it's a Vince Gilligan thing. He loves people constantly coming back to food. Like it is absolutely no accident that so much of Breaking Bad has to do with a chicken restaurant and throwing a pizza on the roof and so forth. Vince Gilligan just constantly comes back. It's like food is like the thing that everybody shares and stops and does. So it's very realistic.
Well,
and yet no one has a mint julep.
Yeah, that's right. Nobody did. But I noticed that every day seemed like it must have been Thursday when anything happened, because they saved spaghetti night for Thursday night. And then
that's the other thing. Food is a crutch for the passage of time.
I guess
and
so. That's,
and that kind of helps.
But it just seemed like, oh, look, the news conference is happening and it's Thursday and we're eating spaghetti in the house watching this TV. Oh, look, we're having this other problem and we're eating spaghetti again. It must be Thursday.
Right. Here's a Tupperware full of spaghetti, because last night also happened to be Thursday.
Yeah.
So back to Charlize Theron character. That is, I thought it was interesting that she was obsessed with the news. I didn't understand what that was doing in there. Did anybody understand why the character was it saying that women are at home all day and they're watching the news? What
maybe
was
it was her
was
way
crazy?
Of justifying that she wasn't doing anything about it, is that she was just kind of keeping on top of what was going on in the world, even if she wasn't going to actually use her powers for good. Right.
That would be a very decent statement to make. Currently, it seems like a lot of us are so busy consuming the news that we're not out saving the world. We're just busy getting mad about it. So that would be. But 2008, was that something that we were?
Yeah, for me, it looked like in a world with a Hancock, he's going to dominate the news, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so it looked to me like she was watching the news to keep track of where
keep track.
Is.
Okay. Mm-hmm. That's a good pull there, Randy. Yeah, I think you're right.
That could be. Yeah. I don't know. Again, the way it's played early, before you know who she is, it just seems like she's concerned about her husband. She wants to support his new idea, but she doesn't want to. She just knows something's going to go wrong or go bad. And so her motivations earlier on, I liked more. than now right. the ones I'm left with now that we know who she is. Because now that we know who she is, I have to second guess all of her stuff in the first half of the movie. And that bums me out a little because there was something nice about her keeping the family okay and keeping an eye on things and then showing up at the prison with some spaghetti and all that stuff.
It betrays what Randy didn't like, which was her playing a suburban housewife. And so could they have split that in two characters possibly? Because, I mean, it really didn't cause any conflict between Ray and Hancock, right? So, I mean, they probably could have just had a different character entirely and introduced Charlize Theron's character in a different manner.
Yeah. I mean,
we didn't need it. Yeah. We didn't need a twist. Yeah. We could have still salvaged the character that was written in the first half and had the character separately.
Yes. This is a good idea, actually. That's a pretty good idea. You don't need her to be the wife, because then you also now have to believe in a lot of coincidences. Like her husband's now working with Hancock, who you knew the whole time was one of you, and you've been keeping quiet about it. You just happened to marry him.
Wait a minute. You're discarding the magic of the movie, right? Like, the magic of these characters is that they're drawn together, whether they like it or not.
Right.
Right. And so, like, I actually think that's cool. Like, even though he's spent 80 years not really doing much, that he was slowly working his way toward her, you know?
Right. Well, I think the question here is are we sacrificing two separate characters, since there's such a flip between the two? Are we sacrificing one of the characters when we don't necessarily need to? I think you could have played it differently. I do agree that I liked the magic. I liked the lore and the idea that separated, they're very powerful. They were created in pairs. And obviously, maybe they needed those powers to be able to get to one another. But the end game was for them to be, to be mortal and to find happiness. And so separated, they have these incredible powers because they would need them to find one another. Mm. And that's kind of magical, right?
Sure.
It's spiritual. It's magical. Mm-hmm. I like that idea. But you don't have to throw it away. You can just work it in a little differently.
It's very
just
realistic, the writing. Too. As you know, every Joe Exotic needs his Carol Baskin.
Yeah, they all have to be there.
And so the fact that they're, like, if they're kind of close, like in the same city, they've got their powers. But if they're far apart, like Los Angeles, New York, now they're mortal, right?
Right.
Okay, so still have the powers, but they're mortal?
I guess so. Or also, how did they both die and then he didn't die? If they were in the same building, they had the proximity.
Right.
And he's laying in the water with his
bleeding mouth. Well, how did E.T. die, but, you know...
because E.T. got an answer from the ship was coming back, and that's enough to bring E.T.
But
back.
He was cold and powdery. I mean, he was dead.
Hold on. Can you imagine if this had been a Steven Spielberg movie? Can you imagine?
I can imagine.
Well, he definitely wouldn't have had the ejaculation scene.
No. Yes, right. But just think about how important the struggle between the children with the French foreign student. Oh my God! It would have been so important to the film.
That was the original screenplay, right? It was he came at night or something like that. Wasn't always called Hancock, and it was originally about a superhero.
Tonight He Comes.
Right, Tonight He Comes. It was about a superhero and a 12-year-old, and so that was the original story. So that would definitely be more Spielberg. I mean, that they should have handed it right to him. But we ended up with Peter Berg.
Yeah, I like Peter Berg. Peter Berg is a cool dude. I like that guy.
Spielberg wouldn't have had crimes be the thing that moves the whole movie. Spielberg would have had aliens appearing on Earth as moving the whole movie, but we wouldn't know it. We wouldn't know what was going on.
That's actually I guess that's a fair
he should
point.
Change
I was
his
that
name.
Was more later Spielberg than earlier, but
he should change his name to Peter Spielberg. That's how.
I get it. One Berg for another.
Yeah, just swap out your Bergs. Yep, get your Berg.
I like
on.
It because what they thought they said, get us Spielberg, and what they heard was just the Berg part. They missed the.
It was a Skype disconnect or voicemail,
it's a little glitch.
It reminds me of that Simpsons episode with Spielberg's non-union Mexican equivalent, Spielbergo or whatever. I love that joke. Hey, you guys, let's talk about Raycon for a minute. These fantastic earbuds that I just had in my ears a minute ago when I went and walked the dog. Well, let me tell you why Raycon's awesome. First of all, whether you're working from home, like I am, or working on your fitness or whatever it is, Maybe you're just trying to listen to whatever you're listening to and not be bothered. You don't want to hear what your roommate's hearing or your neighbors or your wife or your kids or whatever. You want to listen to what you're listening to. Everyone needs a great pair of wireless earbuds. Before you go dropping hundreds of dollars on a pair, maybe check out the wireless earbuds from Raycon. We've teamed up with them. They're offering 15% off their order, off your order rather, at buyraycon.com/filmsack. I've had an amazing experience with these. Very comfortable. I usually don't even like the in-ear ones. Those kind of drive me crazy sometimes. Not these. They fit immediately. They have different adapter sizes, so everybody's covered, but they worked right away with the default ones for me. And I listen to music. I've done conference calls. I binge podcasts, audiobooks, all of it. Sounds great. Music in particular just sounds really good, and it blocks the rest of the world out. Unlike some of your other wireless options, they're both stylish and discreet with no dangling wires or stems or any of that to distract you during a video call or whatever. The company was co-founded by Ray J and celebrities like Snoop Dogg, Cardi B, Melissa Etheridge. The list goes on. They're all obsessed with these Raycons. They start about half the price of any other premium wireless earbud on the market. And I feel like I'm getting double the value out of them. They sound just as amazing as all those top brands you know. Their newest model, the Everyday E25 earbuds, are their best ones yet, with 6 hours of playtime, seamless Bluetooth pairing, more bass, more compact design, gives you a nice noise-isolating fit. That's the pair I have, and I really, really like them. So get the latest and greatest from Raycon. Get a 15% off your order by going to buyraycon.com/filmsack. That's buyraycon.com/filmsack for 15% off Raycon wireless earbuds. That's once again buyraycon.com/filmsack. Well done. I have clips. We have a handful is all. A Hancock full. It's not a lot.
Ah!
Because there isn't a lot of lines where you're like, oh, make sure you capture that line. But it's enough. So here's his a-hole heard me thing at the beginning.
Asshole?
What?
You heard me?
All right. So he doesn't... I think of the original sin was that kid calling him that at the thing. So well done, kid.
Yeah, you heard me.
Yeah.
You heard me. But he didn't beat him up.
No. Nope.
Which is good because I enjoyed him in the middle. So
nope, only saves his anger for the French.
Yeah.
That's right.
I love just how... Listen to how he sounds.
Asshole.
It's just something about him.
He is around 22 right now, if you didn't know this.
Is he? Oh, well, here. Yeah. Okay. I just thought it was a weird sounding kid, but you're telling me he's got like a...
He has a condition, maybe Atticus Schaffer. I don't really know if it's necessarily a condition, if he's just, you know, just different. I don't know, but he played that kid for a long time.
Yeah. Well, we were talking about that other show he's on now. Where is he? Let's see, Atticus. I'm trying to find his name. It's not coming up in the credits.
The middle, ended in 2018. And he is in a series now currently called Never Have I Ever, which I don't know if it's out yet or not.
All right. That's cool. Good luck to him.
Love him though. He's so much fun.
Yeah. He's fun to watch. So all right. Fun. Here's something about, oh yeah, this is good. He's talking to this old lady in the bar.
I'll break my foot off in your ass, woman.
Ooh, jeez.
he really, really has a focus on anal. Like he's like, you know, foot up the butt, head up the butt. I'm putting that, your head up my butt. Like,
yeah, there was something
gonna happen with butts. I'm getting a nutty buddy.
Yeah, I'm thinking, geez, Vince Gilligan, what are you writing there, buddy? Here's a
man returns.
Here was our one F bomb in the entire movie. Here you go.
She should sue you.
Yeah, she should sue you. Yeah.
Okay. Well, you should sue McDonald's because they f***ed you up. All right.
Yeah. That's what I thought. Oh, this movie's gonna go. Was it R? And then I realized, no, I can get one of those in your PG-13s. It'd be fine. Spaghetti Madness.
We started Spaghetti Madness about 2 years ago. We do it every Thursday, and we have not missed a Thursday in.
Yeah. Oh, ever? That's a long time.
Yes.
What kind of life do you live when it's like? Oh, we have a spaghetti again? Yeah, on Spaghetti Madness!
That is the best example in the whole movie. Real concisely, you put on display what Jason Bateman always sounds like and what Will Smith always sounds like. That could have been them on The Tonight Show.
Yeah.
As themselves.
You're right. That's them. That clip right there, 100% Will Smith and Justin Bateman, except maybe on Teen Wolf 2, which is a piece of shit. All right. Moving on. Here's a great line you always want to tell a kid at dinner.
Catch him in his little piss pump.
Catch him in his piss pump.
Piss pump.
I have never heard it called a piss pump until this film.
Until this movie, yeah. Well, since before or since. I think it didn't stick around or anything. It's just a term you're going to hear Will Smith say in Hancock. All right, here's that lady getting interviewed.
This city is being run by gangs and drug dealers. Hancock is the only guy who makes them shake in their boots. He doesn't always tie a pretty ribbon around it, but he gets the job done. Besides, he's hot.
It does not sound like a live phone call. It sounds like somebody read something from the script. So, good job.
Like, I've written this down. I'm going to call your voicemail and leave this message for you.
Yeah, basically that.
By the way, I love the music in this.
Yeah, it was good.
Movie. Oh, I know.
It was, I love it.
It was
so
really
much.
Good. Yeah. All of it.
But it brought me, it took me back to so many like 90s type songs that were just amazing for me.
They had some Beastie Boys in there. They had some,
I think I caught some Luda in there. I heard some Ice-T Colors.
Ice-T.
Need to watch Colors.
Yeah.
When
Ice-T, or when he's walking down through the prison, you hear that Ice-T song.
Right. Had some Onyx in there, I believe, if I heard correctly, but it was some good stuff.
It was great. Some 90s ass 2008 business.
Mm-hmm.
All right, here's a great sound that Justin Bateman makes.
Good.
Good.
Good job.
All right, and then this guy.
What is happening?
I like that guy. He's cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That guy, Red, I thought was, oh my gosh, he is like, if there's ever been someone who played a better Lex Luthor type, I don't know.
He's great. He's also in lots of other stuff, and almost everything else I ever see him in, he plays
Eddie
like
Marson,
a he plays right? like a Russian guy or a somebody Eastern European bloc guy in almost everything. Yeah. So when I heard him talking in a Southern twang, I went, "Oh, yeah, this is different for you. You're not
thought
well." I hated his attempt at an accent. I thought he was all over the place.
Right.
He sounds Southern. He sounds Irish. Like it's just all mixed up.
Yeah.
I wish
maybe he's 3,000 years old.
I wish they would have just let him use his London, England accent. Like, just why have him do a voice? It was terrible.
Well, it wasn't the best. All right. Now, it's that guy that yell he did is almost as good as this guy from a couple of weeks ago.
What?
Not quite, though. Not quite as good as that.
Yeah, that's really good, though.
Yeah, it's very good. All right. Here is the final clip of today. I don't know what it is. Well, I'll just play it.
I'm very strong as well.
Oh, yeah. I like that part.
I like how she said it as well.
I had to get in at least one Charlize Theron line, so because she's Furiosa and she rocks. All right. Mm-hmm. Next up.
Wait. Well, she's in that film?
She's in that movie. She's in that
One movie, the one. Yeah.
Mad Fred, Sweaty Road. Yeah. That's the one. All right, check this out. We're doing this. This is the Film Sack Checklist. Dumb mid-movie twist. Check. That's in there. Will no one think of Justin Bateman? Check. Also, by the end, he didn't seem that broken up that everybody, his wife
he
was.
He, by the way, is Jason Bateman.
You know
you're
why?
Of Justine.
I keep doing that. I've done that my whole life with Justine and Jason Bateman. Right. I do it constantly. I got to stop doing that. That's just how obsessed I was with her in high school. Because I love Justine Bateman and I want to keep calling him Justin.
Yeah. Mallory.
Not enough getting jiggy with it. Check. All right. Hey, Star Trek connections. We got a bunch of these from the Trek Nerd, a.k.a. Daryl Skills. Thanks for sending these in, Daryl. Sumali Montano was a news anchor in Picard. She played the Mom AI episode, Remembrance in the End of the Beginning and The Impossible Box. Okay. So a few episodes there. That's pretty cool. Greg Daniel played
the box is impossible.
Yeah, Greg Daniel played the police chief in Voyager. He played Mobar and the Tuvok impersonator in the 6th season episode "Live Fast and Prosper." That's a great name.
That's also a great title.
Elizabeth Dennehy played Rail Crossing Crowd Number 2. In TNG, she played Commander Shelby.
Now that's reaching.
Yeah, it is kind of reaching. She played Shelby in the fourth episode. Third and fourth season episodes, The Best of Both Worlds and The Best of Both Worlds Part 2. Soundgrade track.
Soundgrade track is I
now have dyslexia. Soundtrack, great. I'd give it an ML for me likey. I liked it a lot. It was very good.
Me likey good too.
I thought the score was good. I thought the interstitial popular music was good. It was all very good. Except when you put the guy up the bum, the song they played when the guy was up the bum, it just, now I'm only going to, I can't even think of the song, but I'm only going to be able to hear that or see that when I hear that song. So that's no good. All right, let's get to the Twitter post. This is where you guys in 280 characters or less, sum this thing up, and we're going to start with Randy.
Hancock, drunks with superpowers breaking stuff are bad, okay? Just like a Saturday night at Ibbot's house.
Oh, wow. That's a short tweet. To the point.
Short and sweet.
You fit that in the original 140. Short and well tweet. Done. Short and tweet. I like that. All right. With us, or not with us. Also, Brian Dunaway. I'm losing my mind today. Time means nothing.
If you like short and tweet, here comes mine. All Hancock, get your head out of his ass and watch this movie. I'm not here to judge you, but you're a terrible person. Good job.
Oh, yeah. All the good jobs. Ibbot.
Hancock, a rapper turned superhero movie that came out around the time we had a young MCU and just learning how to run DC Universe.
Nice. Oh, nice.
Well, rapper there. Rapper stuff.
Run DC.
I'm doing the rapper stuff.
Run
you like
DC
that?
Universe,
yeah. Should be run. Yeah, it's hard to get the M in there. How do you do it?
Yeah, you put once you put the M in, it doesn't feel like Run DC Universe. DC Universe anymore.
Right.
I've cut your flummox.
Yeah, you've caught it. Thank you. Thank you for taking it away from me. I've had it with it. I don't want it anymore. Now this. All right. This has alternate titles, if you can believe it. This was almost called, we were onto something, Hancock. It was almost called that.
Wow. It was almost called that.
Yeah. Or Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, but that was taken. So they didn't do it. But they did. This movie involved all three of those things. Hey, check it out. We got emails from two different people. One's a real short one. These all came to us at...
People are short?
People are short, and it's okay. Filmsack@gmail.com, or the website has a little form on it. You can use that. This came from Levi Olson, who says, oh my, Cliffhanger is on Hulu.
Cliffhanger's on Hulu!
I say it's worth it.
I know it's worth it. I mean, what are we waiting on?
Wait, is Brian Dunaway subscribed to Hulu?
Yeah.
Duh.
You get the Hulu, sure.
I've been subscribed to Hulu for years. Yeah. Randy's giving me guff because I didn't subscribe to the Amazon Prime forever.
Yeah, you're not at the teat.
The video service.
You're not at the teat of Jeff Bezos,
right.
Are you?
I'm not at the bloated teat of Jeff Bezos. No, not me.
Yeah, now you've got the flummox. Well done. You passed it over there. It's like a virus almost. A great time for that. Anyway, the Hulu, a cliffhanger. We should squeeze that boy in there because we've been trying to get that forever.
It fits really nicely into hot action movie summer.
Yeah, it does. Boy, aren't you glad we're doing this since you can't go have a hot action movie summer of your own people out there in the pandemic? It's better to listen to us right now. It's safer. All right, we got one from P. Enos.
Okay.
Yeah,
that's clever.
Okay,
very clever. He says, "Hey guys, just got done listening with number 400. It was the Close Encounters episode of the Third Kind. Great episode, by the way." He says, and another movie came to mind that would be right up your alley to sack. In 1993, there was a movie called Fire in the Sky.
Oh yeah,
loosely based.
Peter Berg.
Yes, another Peter Berg unit.
And things going into people's bums.
Yep.
And I am certain that we have said at least 10 times on Film Sack that we will sack Fire in the Sky as soon as we can.
Yep.
Is it a hot action movie?
No. It doesn't matter. It's not streaming.
Okay.
Yeah, it's just not streaming.
Then what are we talking about for?
Yeah, it's because...
I search Fire in the Sky at least once a month.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, it's in there so many times that Google is sending you emails.
And this thing's amazing. It's based on, listen to this. This is the other reason we should watch it. It's not only based on a true story, supposedly alien abduction thing that happened in 75, but it was all filmed here. So this is like one of those Utah connections for me. Like I remember people talking about seeing people filming it when it was filmed here. It's also got James Garner in it. Robert Patrick, the T-1000's in it.
Yep.
Anyway, that'd be great. He says it's currently streaming for free on the Tubi app.
Oh, the Tubi app. That's free with ads. Yes.
Yeah. So maybe do we make an exception? Do we not?
Do they edit? Do they edit for content on Tubi, or is it just ads or inserted?
We could find
out. That's a good question.
We could find out.
Speaking of, Hulu edits for content, and it drove me crazy trying to watch. I was trying to rewatch the movie Easy A the other day. It's on Hulu.
Oh yeah.
Well, which do they do it for both the? Because they have two service tiers for Hulu, and the one I do, the one with no ads on anything. Do they edit that as well?
I don't know. I spend $65 a month on Hulu, and I
I don't do Hulu like you do.
Wow, that's a lot.
I don't have Randy money.
Hold on a second. So Hulu, I didn't know they. Oh, because that's their TV thing where they give you the live TV stuff as well.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I don't have that. I just do their. So they have that $12 or $15 tier that's. That's all the non sort of the non live stuff without commercials, and then they have the commercial version for like $7. It's a little confusing over there how they do it. Like you can and now there's a way you can get Disney Plus, ESPN, and basic Hulu for like $15 a month. All three, but that Hulu deal has commercials, so it's weird. They do stuff weird. I don't get it.
The following program is presented with a bunch of commercials that you don't want.
I tried to watch Easy A, which is just such a straightforward, funny comedy. And every third line, a word had been replaced in ADR. And someone was suddenly being called a jerk face. And I was just like, no, I hate you.
Well... That sounds like the bad tier of Hulu to have, in my opinion. All right. Well, P. Enos, if that is your real name, thank you for your message. We will keep our eye out. Yeah, we'll keep our eye out. I mean, maybe we'll find out if the Tubi thing edits for content, because if they do, we have a hard rule about that. Like, that sucks, and we don't want to do that. But if they don't, maybe. Maybe. I can deal with a few commercials. I don't care. Doesn't bother me.
Tubi.
But it's I assume Tubi can
Tubi
installed everywhere and played normally, and it's like a normal app, right? Probably.
Oh, what was the and what was the 10-minute shows app that came and went in April?
Quibi?
Quibi is still around.
It's still a thing.
Sure. Okay.
Yeah, they're still trying to charge me for it. I'm like, no, stop it.
Yeah, I mean, I'll never pay a dime for it, but it's there. And they just announced they're doing from home celebrity recreated version of the Princess Bride or some weird thing like that.
It must be a money laundering organization. There's just no other explanation.
I mean, they got some big actors doing stuff on there. I don't know, man. There's just money. So someone has money. I don't know who has money, but Tubi has money or Quibi.
Randy has money. Didn't you hear what he said about Hulu?
You know what they call Quibi in Australia? Quibi down under.
We need to watch that. Oh, did we ever watch? Do you ever watch Her Alibi?
No.
That was...
No.
Oh, my gosh. We need to see that.
Tom Selleck and Cindy Crawford, right?
Yeah.
No. I didn't know. Is that even... I don't even know what that is.
We should put Fair Game on the list, too. If we're talking Cindy Crawford movies.
Hold on a second. Fair Game. 2010. No. Different thing.
No. That's a different thing.
1995. Fair Game. Here we go. Oh, one of the Baldwins there. Willie Baldwin. Okay. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, that poster used to be like, oh hey, oh,
the hubba hubba. Yeah, that was the selling point of that movie.
Yeah. Okay. This thing has it's rocking a 4.3 out of 10 review or score on IMDb. That's pretty.
When's the last time we seen Tom Selleck? Was it that movie where the robot spiders?
Were you sending the floater?
The floater.
Mm-hmm. Was it floater? No.
Was it called floater? What was it called? Something else. But he's the
run,
one that
runaway.
Yeah, it was Runaway. Let's see. Yeah, it's been a while. He's in a new Jesse Stone. Oh, he's making a Jesse Stone movie. Really? Do you guys know about he's got that Jesse Stone show that I never watched. Or I guess they're all movies, all direct-to-TV things.
I have never heard of Jesse Stone at all.
It's like kind of a, not Maverick, what am I trying to say? Matlock, sort of. It's like, right?
Wow, that's two different shows.
But you know what I mean? Like, yeah, Maverick and Matlock are not alike, but you know what I mean? Like, it's like, he's a lone lawyer, and he's the only one that's going to crack this case.
Like, wow, no kidding. Lawyer. Nine movies that I've never heard of Stone Cold, and then all these other ones. Jesse Stone, Night Passage.
Yeah.
Jesse Stone, Death in Paradise. Is this a channel I don't subscribe to, like a Hallmark or a...
Well, I know. Back in the day, I used to see these advertised on Fox News, and I'm pretty sure you don't watch that.
Okay, all right.
Let's see, Jesse Stone.
It is Hallmark Channel.
Is a Hallmark Channel? Oh, that's great.
It says CBS and later the Hallmark Channel adapted the novels as a series of movie specials starring Tom Selleck in the title role.
It's a series of books. So
right,
they're
right.
Playing off that. Yeah. I guess they're popular, and I don't know who they're popular with. But
I guess they're popular. I guess they're popular.
It started in 2005, his first one. It was on CBS, as you mentioned. And then later, I guess, Hallmark's owned by CBS? I don't know. I don't know how that works. But I'm still not going to get
this. Does that mean Hallmark Paramount channel. Owns Hallmark? What does that mean?
I don't know what it means.
Who owns who?
It looked right now, dude, they just started a Christmas and summer marathon over there on that dumb channel. And everyone's telling me about it because my wife loves that crap. So it's on. Right. Yeah, it's on now. You can probably see what's her name who's going to spend like 5 days in jail or however.
I'm not going to lie. This pandemic has fast tracked my desire for Christmas to arrive. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, I'd like some Christmas.
I'm usually not interested in Christmas in July. I don't want to talk about it, but I'll tell you. It feels like it.
Yeah.
Right now. It's just like. Anything.
Right. You need a little of that home.
I need hope.
Yeah.
I'm utterly fascinated by how cable television is showing old sports.
Mm. Oh, again, yeah, I love that, too.
And again, as we've established, I get my cable television via Hulu.
Yeah.
And so,
but how much do you pay?
$65 a month. And
good Lord.
What do you pay for cable television?
We don't do cable.
Right?
I don't
have cable television, fool.
I don't either. I don't do the... I mean, I've dabbled a little. I did the PlayStation View for a while, and then that... Went away. YouTube TV is supposed to be a pretty good value. It's basically equivalent to what PSV was.
I have three major television markets 60 miles in three different directions from me, and I have an antenna in the air, and as well as Netflix and Hulu and Amazon Prime video was strong-armed onto me by Randy. So
we'll all take credit for that.
Strong-armed.
We all got you for the Prime thing, I think. Film Sack.
Oh, it's fine. It's good. I like the Prime thing. It actually works out now because Twitch TV now, of course, a Prime or an Amazon company, is doing the watch parties. And I am part of that watch party. And I tested yesterday Transformers, was it the third one?
Mm. Dark Side of
the Moon.
That sucks.
And I tested it, and it worked internationally. That was the... that was the first movie that I've done a watch long that worked well internationally. Usually it's locked by region. Mm-hmm. But I think we should try. I could put you guys in on a Discord unless you get your Twitch.
Well, I have one.
They allow, are you doing it now?
I'm on the thing. Yeah, I can do one. We could do a
live stream watch along.
Yeah. The deal is that people who can watch it have to have Prime. And so if they watch along with us, they'll see it exactly the same time we do. They'll hear our commentary.
Oh, but we already require they have Prime or some access to a movie when we do a Prime movie anyway. So I mean,
No. But I just mean if they want to watch along with us in real time,
right.
They have to have Prime to do it.
It's on Prime. So if you don't have Prime.
Well, even if you don't
anyway,
how does it work? Yeah, if you're a Prime subscriber and I could go on right now and I could start a show. Imagine a show on Prime. Let's say The Boys. Okay, let's say I wanted to get on Prime and I wanted to binge watch The Boys. I could do that, and any of my audience who wanted to come watch with me and listen to me commentate while we watch it,
right,
with my overlaid photo like a video game, just you know, like you're streaming on Twitch.
It's not actually overlays. It's always like above the chat.
Well, no, I mean you can do. I'm saying I can go full screen on it and have my little picture down at the bottom and all that stuff.
Right.
You can just do it like a game. But my point is like if they've got Prime, they can watch it. If they don't, when they go to watch this, it'll say, sorry, you have to be a Prime member to watch this content.
Right.
So that it's a really interesting thing they're doing.
Right. I was thinking like instead of like if we did a watch along, sometimes we request that people say we have a movie, we're watching it on Prime. If we do a watch along where we, rebroadcast it after the video on demand or whatever, we just released the podcast of us talking over a movie. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't that not be any different?
You know, we could totally do it as a live thing and people and those who can listen.
Let's ask him.
Yeah, no, it'd be fine.
Now I'm trying to strong arm you into doing what I want to do.
You don't have no strong arm needed. I think it sounds like a fun idea. We should do it.
I think it would be fun actually.
Sounds like so. If you're in the beta, or I don't know if it's a beta or whatever, but if you're in the beta of it, and I'm in the beta of it. Either one of us could host one, And the right. other two could just do like we always do, which is be synchronized with the movie on the other end.
Right. Well, actually, I don't have to do that because Twitch synchronizes it for you. So if you leave, I tested all this yesterday. If you leave, you can come back and it'll pick up right where everybody else is at.
Oh, okay.
So even if you get lost, yeah. even if you get lost, it's okay.
I'm just worried that because we would, but we would be recording our conversation in a whole separate different way than we would through video. And I wonder what right. that does to lag. I have no idea on the movie. I mean, like, I don't know if things will be behind or ahead or whatever. We'd have to test that.
It's an interesting question. I'm still testing. Good point. Good point.
So riveting.
This is great audio podcast content.
Oh, this is still part of still on the show?
This is the end of the show. This is the post show.
Yeah, this is
post show. You can talk about anything.
This bonus content, everybody. You didn't know you were
going
to get.
We can talk about Randy's third nipple. It's all fair game.
Wait, he had it removed. We don't talk about that nipple anymore.
But not the fourth one, which now became the third one.
Oh, right. Okay. That makes sense.
It's moving on up.
It works like flowers do in Animal Crossing. They just spread. You got to be careful. all right. Well done, everybody. That's going to be our show for today. Our next movie will be, what will it be? Randy, do you have that handy?
The Green Hornet.
The Green Ooh. Hornet.
The Green Hornet, which I've never seen.
Me either.
But it is a hot action movie.
Yeah, I never saw it either, and I don't remember why. I just didn't have any interest in it when it came out. I think mm-hmm. I was on the down with Seth Rogen type things, but
on
now
the down.
Yeah, but I'm good to see it with you guys, so this will be good.
Yeah, it's streaming on Netflix. You got nothing to do? Watch The Green Hornet.
Sure, that's what you should do. So check it out. That's The Green Hornet, available now on Netflix. We'll be watching that for our film, our very next episode. So check that out. Thanks for your patience last week, and also anybody out there in the audience who gave to either of the Brian Hibbett charities he ran 2 weeks in a row.
Oh yeah.
Yes. Charity week is now over. Well, it's almost over. Tina's currently now doing a heart walk. A cancer walk as I record this. So once that's over, we're done with charity for the year. So yeah.
Right. Now it's all about the Hibbett again.
Yeah, forget about the charity. It's all about
exactly.
the Hibbett.
Exactly.
Pretty cool stuff. Anyway,
you needed to set up one of those websites for your thing where I can go donate, but I have sliders and I can choose percentages to the different charities.
Oh yeah, you can have all your charities in one place, Brian. That's what you should do.
There you go.
Go hire somebody to make you a nice, fully functional website with sliders, and you're all ready to go. Don't say sliders. It makes me want little burgers, little tiny burgers.
Mm. Oh, really? It makes
me
think.
Want Carrie Wurr.
That's what I was thinking. It makes me think of Jason Bateman's alter ego.
Justin Bateman.
Wait, what's the other? Who's the, wait? In Sliders, what's the guy's
name?
Jerry O'Connell.
There you go.
Right. Yeah.
Well,
right.
if this made you hungry for tiny burgers or Jerry O'Connell, either way, we look forward to seeing you next week. Our website is filmsack.com, and as always, you can email us filmsack@gmail.com. Find us on Twitter @filmsack, and give us a review wherever you get your podcast. It helps a lot. That's gonna do it for us, for me, for Brian, and for Randy.
Asshole.
We'll see you next
Whatever,
time.
Whatever, Michelle.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Yes. Get more at frogpants.com.
What is happening? What is happening?